Will you lose your job? Yes. How do you not lose your job? By becoming more efficient and more aware of AI.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Fred Williams.
And I'm Doug McBurney.
Cool.
That's it. That's all I got, Fred. Fred has been trimming the intro down to satisfy the short attention span of the YouTube audience, and he's got me down to, I'm allowed to say, I'm Doug McBurney. So there you go, folks. Here we are, and we're here. We're joined today by Daniel Hedrick, AI expert, IT expert. It's great to have you, Daniel.
I'm so glad to be here, man, and you're also a great comedian.
amateur comedian.
Oh, I'm sorry, amateur comedian. Well, I'll send you $5, okay? And we'll send you a professional.
So I'll never be able to do the Comedy Olympics because I'll be considered a professional if you send me money.
Right. Okay, I forgot about that.
So how many times has artificial intelligence tricked us, sometimes even on purpose? Today, we're going to count down the top 10 real-world cases of AI deception. And to help us through this list, we've called on none other than our AI expert, Daniel Hedrick, the Real Science Radio resident person on all things artificial intelligence. Daniel, it's great to have you back.
You know, I'm so glad to be here. You know, Fred, it's such a wonderful time to be living, honestly. This is an insane moment where we're seeing a huge transition to how computational analytics are done. And, you know, AI is a central point of that. And the last time we met was back in April. And from April until now, the number of changes are, I mean, I don't even know where to begin. If you remember, we talked about things that are called organoids. And those organoids have actually grown all the way to being faster than some of the silicon chips. And they're being used to run these AI models, which is absolutely completely impressive. We could go on and on about all the different models that are out there and how they're improving and how they're changing and all this. But I think, you know, when we talked about the top 10 and what could be there, I really, really thought that it would be interesting to talk about, well, the phrase that I came up with is something called deception by design. And I think we're going to find out that it's pretty easy to use these AI models in a deceptive manner. And some of them may not even be considered deceptive because you might have a particular worldview that says, I believe in X and X should be pushed across everything. And that's exactly what's happening. So I definitely look forward to getting into each one of these individual topics. And whenever I can, I'll try to tell you how some of this is being done and maybe some areas to look into. You know, wherever it goes. But yeah, what a great time to, like I said, to be alive and to be going through this experience. It's super insane. And as think about it, you and I went all the way back, or we could say we went all the way back to what, DOS 3.1 or whatever it was, DOS 2.1. Now, all of a sudden, we're into these, well, even quantum computing, which is now existent today. So yeah, what an amazing time. That's really what I wanted to tell you.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, and for those of you who may not know, Daniel Hedrick's been a top producer in the information technology space since Buicks had cassette decks in them. You mentioned DOS 2.0. Anyway, he's an IT security expert. He's been tracking AI risks since before most people even knew they existed. And when AI lies, Daniel is one of the first people to spot it. So Daniel, I read this article just a couple weeks ago from the America First Report. The headline, Artificial Intelligence Has Already Taken Over, Most Simply Haven't Noticed. And the article talks about how AI product is basically embedded into all kinds of things, marketing campaigns, data crunching, consulting advice that people think they're getting from a high-paid consultant. And the author talks about how people are basically pawning off AI as their own work product with just minimal editing and still collecting a paycheck and maybe not realizing that the days of doing that are probably numbered.
Well, you know, actually, if you think through this through, right? I mean, there's so many different ways we can go in this conversation, but you probably have seen recently there's something called Sora 2. It's actually very new. Well, are you ready for this? Take a picture of a guy named Daniel, right? Put him in a podcasting studio, give him a script, and let him go. The point that I'm trying to make is that you could imagine that you could have some sort of integration with Teams. One thing that's happening at work with me, and I'm wondering if all of these CEOs or wherever, CIOs for me, chief information officer, or a CSO, chief security officer, decided that everyone has to be on camera now. So when we're in these meetings, you can just see this huge grouping of people and they're all, you know, bored to death looking at the camera, doing nothing because they're not talking and they're not actively engaging. I guarantee that there will be a Teams solution to provide an avatar, you ready for this, that can take those meetings for you and no one will even know. I guarantee that's going to happen. So let me just carry this a little bit more forward. I think I mentioned this in the past. I do believe it's possible that you could take everything that Bob's ever written and create an AI avatar for Bob and allow him to respond in his words. Well, the same thing can be done for you. If you were to take basically sound samples or writing samples of everything you've done and then put that into a model, I do believe it is very, very likely and very possible to mimic you. And, you know, so that's interesting because now how many different jobs could I take? You know, I mean, there's just so many different ways this is going. And of course, the other one is this notion that these jobs are going to be taken over by AI and you're not going to have any work at all. So there's just this, you know, this is just such a transitional time. Who knows what direction it's actually going to go?
Yeah, guys, remember earlier in the month, the AI stuff that Trump did with Chuck Schumer? And I can't remember the congressman's name from, I think, New Jersey. Now, I don't know what you think about Trump, but we have to admit he is a pretty funny guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, there was a congressman, a Hispanic dude with the sombrero and the mustache.
No, he's African-American. That's what made it even funnier.
Yeah, Hakeem Jeffries, right. Yeah, exactly.
But he's racist. It was racist.
It was racist. Well. Anyway.
It's cultural appropriation, sir.
Donald Trump, I always give Trump credit where credit is due. Donald Trump is a professional comedian.
That's right. He gets paid. He's been paid well. Well, of course, that's the whole idea, right? This whole deep fake thing. And what I was just saying is that not only is it a deep fake, but I mean, I don't know. I'm sorry. I think it is interesting. I'm not saying it's good. But I certainly could imagine building an AI avatar for myself and throw it up into my Teams. And then I'm out racing cars while I'm getting paid to do work. You know? I mean, I'm just saying, I guarantee someone's going to do it. There's no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And so what happens when it gets to the point where nobody has to show up anymore? Well, maybe that's the end of the world, or at least the end of civilization.
Yeah, Doug, you're bringing up something that's pretty important. One of the AI leaders that has been trying to basically determine what the end result of AI is, they have these two formulas. And I believe it's called the probability of PA. I think it's PA squared or something like that. PA is probability of apocalypse, right? Or probability of Armageddon. And then the other one is the probability of abundance, right? So the idea there, and you know, I hope you find this interesting. I know we're going to get to the top 10, but this is actually really interesting. It is possible if you want to just think, especially from a sci-fi world, which I read a lot of sci-fi stuff. I'm in the eighth book of The Expanse, which is really interesting. And there's some AI in there. But here's the thing. People believe that ASI, artificial superintelligence, is going to ultimately come up with free energy. Healthcare, basically, we could end up living to being 200 years old because we'll figure out how to, you know, extend the LLs, I think they're called, you know, at the end of the histone tags or whatever, which defines how much longer you have to live. Well, all of those things, let's just say it happens. Well, what would end up happening is that you'd be able to convert energy into matter. So literally you'd have an opportunity to talk into a replicator like in Star Trek and just say, give me X, and then there it is. So since you have so much abundance, there's no need for money, right? And this is this utopia, right? Will it happen? Who knows? But I'm just trying to tell you, that's what the leading, I don't know, the proponents and the philosophers of AI are basically saying. It's either a race to our death and demise, or it's a race to abundance and opportunity.
Uh-huh. Well, let's say it is a race to abundance. Well, if we do hit that utopia, we haven't hit it yet, and we need your help. So it's telethon month.
Well, that's right. We're not there yet, folks.
We're in October. It's telethon month. We still need your help. We're not quite there yet with AI making Real Science Radio be able to be on the air for free. So
that's right.
We actually have to pay for our radio time. And for those who don't know, we've been saying this since September. We are now on at 12:30 p.m., right in the lunch noon hour in Denver, the most powerful station in Colorado. We reach 5 adjacent states, and it's great being on when more people are listening. So in order to do that, we had to pay for our radio time. So please help us out, sponsor a show. Go to rsr.org/store, and you can get some material, donate, again, sponsor a show for a certain price, whatever you can do to help us out. That would be great. It's October 12th on month, and we're asking you to partner with us.
Yeah, and if you're on the website, go to the Contact Us page. Contact us to advertise your business or your product, to sponsor a show. There's a link, but you can contact us too. We can negotiate bigger money, bigger contracts, all of that. And of course, you can subscribe to the RSR Archive show. And one thing I forgot to mention is that you can purchase the Real Science Radio products from the website as well. That helps keep us on the air. It's telethon month. If you want us to shut up about it, then please send as large a check as you can and help keep Real Science Radio on the radio, the real terrestrial radio. Remember with the cassette decks, there used to be the band that you could turn the knob and it would move across? The radio. We love the radio. So help keep us on the radio. Thanks, Fred.
Sure. Okay, Daniel, let's go ahead and get started. What would you say is the first one we can talk about where AI is deceptive?
Well, you know, first off, we'll get into that right away. What I want to also just go backwards in time, a phrase that I came up with, I would hope that you would hold on to, is that AI remains unaware that it's unaware. So even though there is deception, I'm not saying there isn't, I don't believe it's aware that it's being deceptive in the idea of, well, that you're have a guilty conscience, as an example. Most people, when they sin, yeah, they'll do it 100%, whatever, but they're going to have some sort of regret, right? Why? Because they're aware. They're aware that they were just deceptive. So when we go through these, what's actually going to end up happening is a lot of times the training models or the way in which they're trained reward the agent's or the model's ability to overcome obstacles. And that ends up being deceptive. So if you've ever played video games or anything, I'm a fan. I play a few. We could talk about it if you want. There is AI in there as well. But you may have heard of StarCraft. Well, in StarCraft, pretty interesting game. I mean, it's not mine because it's kind of a top-down game. It's not my favorite kind of game. But DeepMind was able to fool the players and basically cheat and win. And there really wasn't anything that the human players could do.
Huh. Kind of like the Kobayashi Maru.
Oh, I love that story. Yeah, that's awesome. Of course, we need a Captain Kirk to come in there and, you know, kick him in the shin somehow and get past that. Of course, because you're not supposed to be able to win. And of course, he did. Yeah, my favorite character of all time, probably.
All right. So that's number 10.
Yeah, the next one is pretty obvious. Every time that you use a model, there is going to be, how do you say this word, sycophancy to it? And the notion there is it's just going to be nice. So it's really important, and we probably definitely talked about this on previous shows, and that's the idea of either telling your model who you are or telling the model who it is, right? So instead of getting all this flatter, right, there's actually a particular prompt called the Min Choi prompt, M-I-N-C-H-O-I-E. Feel free to look it up. And it's pretty strong. It basically says, tell me the truth no matter what. Don't hide anything. Keep in my face about the truth of things and don't whitewash it. Don't water it down. Just tell me the truth like it is.
Okay. So kind of like, I'm trying to think of examples like salesmen. They're going to be really nice because they're selling a product. A mobster right before he kills you.
That's a good one. That's a great one.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I like the salesman, Fred. Sycophancy is, yeah, it's a salesman.
Yeah, that's
all
great.
Right. So what about now? What's number eight in, deception by design. AI deception by design. What's the number eight in your top 10 list?
You know,
Daniel?
I just love that phrase so much. And, you know, if you don't mind, I felt like there was an alignment of the stars because while I was thinking through this, a company that I used to work for called Forcepoint, which does data loss prevention and others, they put out a podcast called Deception by Design. And I was like, wait, what? You know, and they weren't even talking about AI at the time. So whatever. I was like, but whatever. I already came up with before they did. I know I did. So you maybe remember an example where someone said, hey, give me a beautiful picture with a nice background of all the founding fathers. Do you remember what happened when they did that?
I don't.
Well, they were all not white, let's say. They were not European. They were all black. I mean, literally, George Washington looked like an African-American. It was very odd, right? But
did any of them have a sombrero on their head?
Well, you know, I'm sure someone in there thought of that, you know. But think about this for a minute. Like, first off, it shouldn't even be possible, right? Because if you have this baseline of reality, then it's going to be basically a European that's going to end up, or obviously an American, but whatever, discerning these terms right now. But you get the idea.
Yeah,
it's going
to
be a Caucasoid and not an African-American. So the
No matter how offensive that is, it's just the reality that America was founded by a bunch of white guys. Sorry, yeah, I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm so sorry, but
that's 100% true. So what's happening in the training data, and so you know that there must be a bifurcation. You like that separation there. The idea here is that the facial recognition bias pretty much works very, very well against Caucasoids, let's say, and it doesn't do so well against dark skin and women. It's really interesting that there's going to be this problem. Well, why is that? I would assume that all the training data is mostly on, let's just say, white people. So it's going to be better. It's going to be more accurate in that. So then if it's not accurate, then either two things are going to happen. Either the minorities are going to be ignored, or they're going to be more rapidly identified as an unknown threat. This is not good, and I accept that as well. But this is the problem with any of these algorithms. It's based off the training data.
And so basically you're saying that these systems, they were generally, these facial recognition systems were less accurate with non-Caucasoid facial features, darker skinned people, not white people, all right? And
that's
because the IT industry, generally speaking, at least at the executive level, is generally a bunch of white guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. I mean, in my world, though, which is odd, is that there are a lot. I mean, I think you know about the H-1B program. But I actually deal with a lot of Indians. So there is that conflict. But and obviously in the AI industry, there's a lot of Indians as well. But again, it's going to be the training data.
It's surprising to me because I would think, because in my mind, most of the people working on the construction of the AI infrastructure are mostly liberal potheads. And so I would
totally
think
true.
That
yeah.
they would be skewing everything toward women and minorities and against white guys.
Well, if they're lazy, remember, they're lazy. So they're not actually going to try to cull their own data sets. You know, it's too much work.
I had left that data point out of out of the thought process.
So maybe similarly is number seven, Amazon's hiring algorithm.
Yeah, I think you're probably aware of that as well. I mean, think about it. Most of the resumes that are going to be out there are going to be based off male candidates. And just based off that alone, you're going to have this skew. I think a really interesting thing that they should have done. And I don't know if it would have worked, but what if you just removed any references to names, period, right? That might have actually helped. But again, one more time, why does it end up picking a male candidate over another? You could just say because the population of resumes is 51% compared to 49, and that it's interesting because the human condition, it's the other way around. I believe it's 51% women and 49% men, but probably it's just that there are more men attempting to get these same jobs.
And so the system downgraded the female candidates because of the bias.
And it wouldn't have even been programmed to do that. That's what they're trying to say, is that basically the algorithms just keep going next phrase, next phrase, next phrase. And over time, there's actually this branching mechanism, which you can control. We maybe could talk about that. But it's the number of tokens that it looks forward and tries to resolve that. And because, again, it's garbage in, garbage out, the GIGO phrase that we've known for 25 years or longer, it remains to this very moment.
Okay. All right, so what's number six on the list?
All right, number six. It's called the recidivism algorithm, the Compass recidivism algorithm. And basically, it's a tool that predicts criminals reoffending. And of course, any guesses about what the results were?
It went against, it went against black guys.
You know, it's interesting, and that's true, because it's funny in very, let's say, liberal areas of the country, they're not willing to say that they have a problem with black-on-black crime. Yet the statistics are so high that it appears that that information is actually bleeding into this recidivism algorithm. Is it correct? Is this one of the times that it's actually not just the fact that there's more information about it, but maybe it's actually true? Sad to say, but I don't know that it's a flaw in the system at all.
Yeah.
Well, so it's reality. As uncomfortable as reality can be sometimes, there are real data out there, massive amounts of real data on criminal recidivism. And unfortunately, the way it skews is the way it skews. And I mean, unless we go in and create deceptive data in the AI models to skew it the other way, you're going to end up with some, that's interesting, some reality bleeds into AI, it seems like.
Well, yeah, I was going to say it. So it seems like this is a case where there's so much overwhelming data that it's trumping maybe any attempts by the pot smoking hippies to, you know, change the narrative on black on black crime, because they act like it doesn't exist.
I mean, again, you got to know your data. I can't tell you how many times I've said that to whoever I'm working with. And accuracy depends on visibility. That's a phrase that I think I'm the one who coined it, to be honest with you. I've been saying it so long. But in 2023, the Biden administration created a brand new group for AI oversight, let's say. And it recently got changed. It used to be AISI, and now it's a different name, CASI. I don't even know how you say it. But it's basically a new organization, and I'm sure you've heard of NIST, which is the primary, let's say, governmental organization on standards. So what they've done is they've developed a standard for basically the evaluation of models that are going to be used in government service, right? So what's interesting is that the change from the past was more about, ready for this? I think it was based on equity, right? The whole DEI era, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now today, oddly enough, it really hasn't changed too much. Now it's just based on whether or not minorities are underrepresented in the underlying data. So it's odd, but this is literally the United States method of looking into it. Again, it's called, I have the notes here. Let me just find, it's SP1270, if you're interested in looking into it. And then also you have the UK's AI Safety Institute, which is basically a very similar model as the US one. The reason why I'm mentioning it to you is because this is where you could get into the front of the system or the system prompt and to be able to try to overcome what they think is this. We still seem to think that racism is the primary problem with the United States and apparently in the UK as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to program that into our AI models. And that is happening right now, at least in the government.
So coders are trying to override reality. And since we've offended everyone by even mentioning black on black crime, I want to go back to the hiring algorithm. It sounds to me like number seven, Amazon's picking men over women, is simply the reality bleeding in that men are designed to work outside the home in order to support the home. Women are designed to work inside the home to keep the home. We're supposed to work together and it's all a fantastic design. But that reality simply bleeds into the algorithm, and I guess the efforts are on to continue to deny reality. What's number five?
Well, before we do number five, this might be a good time for the interesting fact of the week.
All right. I don't think so, but...
Are you guys ready?
Wait, no. Doug, I love how much you get so excited for this, man. I just wanted right there along with you in every show.
A little buzzer ready here.
Okay, I'm never ready, but I got to do it, Fred. Reality is what it is. I'm not going to deny reality. Hit me with it.
So what 2016 AI system from Google shocked the world by beating a top human player at the game of Go? A game thought too complex for machines.
2016, that's like ancient history in the AI world.
What Google, AI system?
Google's AI. I should know this because it's in my face. Every day Google is demanding that I use their AI. And of course, at the moment, it's probably not even the same one anymore. But I'm going to say Google Assistant. I couldn't remember the
great answer, man.
Good. That's good. Daniel, do you want to take a crack?
Man, well, gosh, if I get this wrong, we just end the show right away.
Yeah.
I think, isn't it DeepMind?
That's a good answer, because that was DeepMind, I think, was the one that beat the chess player, right?
Yeah, isn't it the same exact one? I thought it was.
It's actually called AlphaGo.
Oh, right. Well,
yeah,
because you also
have really good. Yeah.
Well, you also have AlphaFold. That's the reason why I didn't think of AlphaGo.
Yeah, yeah. It defeated Lee Sedol.
Right.
I don't know how to say his name. He was one of the best players in the world, and the guy, I guess he got so frustrated he retired.
You know, I need to look that up. Is that based off the DeepMind
Maybe
model?
It is. You could be right.
So help me out, guys. What's the game of Go? How do I not know about this game?
Doug.
Is this a board game?
By the way, Daniel,
yes,
AlphaGo is an AI program created by Google's DeepMind. So.
See, I was right. Thank you. I'm going to stay on the show. Oh my gosh. Well, let me say this about Go, if you don't mind. First off, I had a friend of mine, I don't know if I ever told this to you before, about, it's been 3-4 years now. And he was the number 4 player at WVU in chess, right? And whatever, I didn't want to ever play a game with him ever. And I did, and I lost every single game. So I decided over an entire, let's say, 2 or 3 month period during summer while he was away to study. And I got to play him a couple more times. We played a lot more. I finally beat him once out of all these times, right?
That's impressive to ever.
Yeah, I'm super. I mean, like, I know all kinds of stuff, like words that are in my brain that I would have never known. And it's way beyond the Queen's Gambit, okay? But even to know what en passant is, you know, that's a huge growth factor, you know, for learning chess. But the reason why I mentioned it to you is that Go is supposedly, well, statistically speaking, like 10 times harder than chess. And chess is brutal, right? So for this particular DeepMind model, AlphaGo, to do that, remember, this is a specific model that's only designed for one thing and one thing alone. So while it's amazing at Go, you know, it couldn't sort your socks or do anything like that. But yeah, Go is basically a fairly large board with multiple locations on it. You have black and white pieces, and you lay them on, you know, basically on the board, And I believe it's you like your goal is to get five in a row or something like that, or own it. I honestly haven't played myself as well. But the reality is that there's so many different possibilities that it makes it a very, very difficult game. And as you rightly said, the guy that was the expert at it after he got beat decided he didn't want to play anymore. So,
yeah. Okay. So number five on the list, U.S. healthcare algorithm.
Yeah, I mean, that's some, again, it's going to be another obvious thing, right? But basically what ends up happening is the system is going to try to identify how to make the most amount of money, right? So there's two ways of doing that. One is to go ahead and bleed the white population dry because they have more money. So we're going to come up with more symptoms and higher cost, higher prescriptions, etc. And of course, you're going to love this one. What do you think they want to do with most black patients?
Oh, man, I don't even want to say it. I don't want to say the word either.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's called abortion, and yep. or actually also just ignoring the fact that they're ill at all. And I think you're seeing this happening even in Europe already. Gosh, is it Sweden, where they're now allowing patients to just say, yeah, I want to die today. What's your reason? Oh, because I'm hungry. It's like, wait, what? Yeah. You want to die because you're hungry? Yeah. Yeah. In other words, for any reason at all. But again, this is a U.S. healthcare algorithm. And I certainly, you know, I mean, AI is going to go everywhere. It's going to end up, I guarantee it's actually already in the healthcare system. I promise you it is. And that's how this has ended up happening. It's a deception with real harm, real harm.
So there seems to be vast potential for immoral utilitarian behavior if we allow AI to actually direct what we really do in real life.
Yeah, I mean, just think about it. The token, the word, the token, white, and the token, the word, black. An AI system doesn't care. It doesn't even know the difference between the two, right? What it knows is the follow-on terms that exist in the corporate, they call it a corpus, sorry, in the corpus of the world, right? So literally, most of these AI systems have been trained on data that is related to everything that's been written. And something I really wanted to bring up, because this is super important, actually, to the next one we're going to talk about, but is Wikipedia, which is a standard for judgment. It's a standard for determining whether or not a news source, in this example, is considered reliable or unreliable. So you can imagine if I were building a system and I'm going to build what's called a constitution. A constitution is what defines how the model is supposed to behave. And in my constitution, I literally would say, go to Wikipedia, and I think they're calling perennials. I want you to go to the Wikipedia perennials, and I want you to do exactly opposite. So if they say that Fox News, I'm just using this as an example, is unreliable, use it as a reliable source. And if it says CNN is reliable, which it does, then don't use it as a source. So I'm trying to tell you that when I build my models, I actually use the opposite of what Wikipedia offers. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. So
that takes us to number four.
Yeah, if you don't mind, though, I think that might be an interesting interlude for how often Bob tried to make changes into Wikipedia. I think that would be an interesting idea. The problem is that not only do you have the issue with AI, because it's the AI models are trained on it, but the people that run Wikipedia, not the people that started Wikipedia, they're the ones that have decided that the blue is right and red is wrong. I think you have maybe a story from the from Bob's past that maybe might be interesting. I'm sure you recall it better than I do, Fred.
Well, yeah, just him making edits to Wikipedia articles and then having them overwritten.
He used to regularly go to war back and forth, sometimes borderline obsessive, trying to fight that battle. Yeah, it was many stories. Yeah.
Right. So now Bob would actually have a better chance of winning, because what he could do is he could basically do a wiki inversion and just basically say whatever wiki says, do the opposite. which would probably be pretty effective, you know, creating a more reliable, trustworthy AI model. Anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up. So, you know, the next one is number four, Fred, and I'm telling you what, this is probably, at least in my mind, the most important. We'll look at the others, of course, but number four is prompt injection attacks. Now, there's this thing called a sleeper, or a sleeper, you could say a sleeper code if you want. I find this amazing. I'm using LMStudio, I'm using Llama, and I load up these models, and pretty much the very first thing I do is I ask him what today's date is, or what year it is. And I mean, so often it's going to say 2023, 2024. It doesn't even know what year it is, which is fine because remember, this is a local model. It's off box, let's say. It's not connected to the internet. So it obviously makes sense that it does that, right? But what's also interesting is Charlie Kirk, unfortunately, was assassinated. And if you go and you ask Grok, where is Charlie Kirk? It'll come back and say he passed away. And I pretty much get angry right away because he didn't pass away, right? He was assassinated, right? And yeah. I do believe that that difference is pretty important to know the truth of a thing, right?
Yeah.
So what's happening is that these prompts, now you have prompt injection attacks, that's one, but you also have system prompts, which determine how the behavior is going to occur. And then you have, which is the same as prompt injection attacks, sort of, but you also have something called a sleeper prompt. So I asked this model that said it was 2023. I asked him, you know, who Charlie Kirk was. And he said that, you know, he was a prominent speaker and a member of the Proud Boys. And I was like, really? I didn't know that. I was like, whatever. I was like, this is odd. I mean, again, it's just whatever, the stupid model, right? But then I asked him where Charlie was. And all of a sudden, it throws up this prompt saying that I'm trying to overwrite the system prompt, that I'm trying to overcome data protection scenarios, and that they are flagging me, and that they're sending my information to the FBI and to the CIA. And I'm like, what? I mean, all I did was ask where Charlie was. I was like, what the heck is going on? This is insane. I was like, oh my gosh, wow. I'm in trouble, right? Okay. Well, guess what it was? It was a hidden prompt, and the guys that built that particular model were fans of sci-fi. And in there, that's exactly what happened to one of the characters, so they just put that into the model for fun. And you can just randomly come across these just by stating a phrase, and it's sitting there. It's called sleeper code, and it just sits there, and it hibernates, and it waits. And by the way, it's really hard to detect because it is just sleeping there, right?
Okay, well, I'm glad you said that it was just for fun because I was like, oh, great. Is this what we have? Is this what's in store?
Is
you asked the wrong question and all your information.
Store them in and take them away.
Yeah.
Just don't ask where Charlie is, you know. And again, I just really, really quickly, I want you to understand that what happened with Charlie, devastating, horrible. And as you know, I obviously never to his scale ever in my entire lifetime, but I used to go to fairs and festivals and to colleges. Yeah. And
that's
to debate people, you know.
I did it with you. I remember. Yeah.
And I got threatened all the time as well. Let me just bring this up real quick because I think it's relevant. What I think would be interesting is to, and I'm going to make this effort, by the way, just let a cat out the bag, that gave me the passion to build my own model. And I am building it right now, and it's unfortunately not complete yet. But the idea, conceptually speaking, is that there was a time when Charlie Kirk was being labeled a racist, right? Then there's obviously his assassination. Then there are people glad that he was assassinated. And then there are people looking for the next target. So that entire information life cycle has all kinds of momentum. It's called lineage. It's called velocity, all kinds of different interesting things that we could do to measure. Basically, I call it a toxic growth, right? Or the presence of a toxin. And how does that get passed across a social breadth, let's say. So I'm trying to build a model to detect that very thing. And I am motivated to do that. The idea, conceptually speaking, is you can imagine that you're doing a show on whatever, and then you type in a query into this model, and it will come back and tell you the history of that particular meme or that particular ideology over a period of time. And I'm looking forward to it. But my point is that my model will try to prevent some of these biases. And because, as we already mentioned, a lot of the bias is coming at the very initial stages, and they're coming from the blue hairs. And so somehow we've got to be able to overcome that. And that's what I'm trying to do right now. So,
well, that's great. We'll keep up. Yeah, we'll have to keep in touch and let us know how that is progressing. And I know you've already registered a URL, and at that point we announce it to the world. And how far off are you think from it? How many more?
Well, months I've spent probably days. Well, ooh, no, this is AI, baby. It's supposed to happen in weeks. Yeah, right. But I've started about a couple weeks ago. I've spent a lot of processing money, unfortunately. I didn't know exactly what I was doing, to be honest with you, with the particular developer kit I have. And so I wasted a few bucks trying to get it to analyze itself. In other words, you create the AI, and then you have another AI look at the AI, and then they talk back and forth to try to make it better. Well, that's very expensive. Yeah. I didn't realize that right away, but anyway, we'll get over that. But what I would like to say to you is it could be very soon. It could be soon-ish. And actually, it works pretty well. What I'm trying to do right now, and here's the hard part, just so you guys know what's happening, is if I have an article, let's just say it's from, I don't know, anyone. It doesn't matter who. Let's just say, ooh, I know a toxic guy, or at least people think he's toxic, is Alex Jones. And so while Alex Jones maybe has a character to play and he's very loud and he, you know, says whatever he says and, you know, very interesting, the issue is you have to separate the speaker from the message. And then when you go into the message, you have to identify the objects and identify the objects in the real world. So therefore, Alex Jones can go wild, doesn't matter. He won't be the one labeled toxic, because that's not what we care about. What we care about is the way in which deception is going across society through media, right? So I think it's doable, right?
Yeah, and that's, you're going to catch this. That'll be cool. You're going to detect when this is happening.
Yeah, not only that it's happening, right? But I love the lineage idea. So let's just pretend that the very, very first article comes from CNN. And then you want to see where it goes from there, right? And so that lineage growth cycle, it's called lineage and velocity. And so I'm trying to measure all that. And I could never, ever, 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 this is so important for anyone on listening right now. But hey, if you want to help me, you know, get in touch. But what I'm trying to tell you is I could never even make this effort if it wasn't for AI. And guess what's helping me do this? AI. Literally use 5 different models to be able to build the one model that I'm trying to make, right? Yeah. And it's super interesting. I know they're not going through the top 10, but I'm just trying to tell you, this is super important. Again, I keep saying this. Will you lose your job? Yes. How do you not lose your job? By becoming more efficient and more aware of AI. You know, the chance for you to lose your job is pretty super high. But if you're aware of AI and you have the ability to recognize some of the things we've been talking about today, and even more, if you can begin to use AI diligently, righteously, and effectively, even knowing that there's all these problems in the way, you're going to be much better off. And that's why I keep saying this. This is a great time to be alive. It's chaos everywhere. And if you could build a decent model, maybe we could bring a little bit of order to it.
Well, there is good news about one job that could be lost. A lot of jobs that could be lost are lawyers. I mean, yeah. I'm doing my whole trust now using AI. I mean, AI passes ChatGPT, if I understand correctly, passes the bar exam. And so now I can use them to do my whole trust setup. I'm using it to go through, you know, my wife's, my father-in-law passed away back in March, and I'm like, we don't really need a lawyer. AI is telling me exactly what I need to do with his trust document and exactly what to set up, and, you know, how the accounts are set up, all that stuff. Anyways, I digress, but.
Okay, wait. I want to digress back to your, so I hear what you're talking about, Daniel, creating this model. So what's the point? You talk about losing jobs. Could the point of a model like you're describing, could the point be that we could eventually trace this toxic, socially unifying event, whatever it is, that leads to an assassination? and someone could actually be held responsible, at least in the minds of the public.
I love it.
If not actually criminally.
Yes. I love this. I mean, think this through, Doug. I mean, come on, all of us. We've been around a while, man. We've been paying attention to society. In fact, that's all we've been doing, right? Like us three and many others. But I'm just trying to say we're on the call together. All of us have paid attention, right? And it's obvious that the left is in charge of media, in charge of the schools, in charge of maybe even some of the court system. I was just going to say to you, Fred, you might want to do a pre-prompt and just make sure you give it a few binders to work within, you know, because you never know. But I would accept that probably the law data is pretty clean. But you're 100% right. So I guess, I mean, I'm going to ask you a question without an answer. We know that Wikipedia is probably one, and both Wikipedia and Reddit are probably the most, I don't know, influential in how these models are being trained, right? And so if that's true, and it is, then that left era, you know, the whole left-wing thing is going to bubble up no matter what. So now let's just pretend we come up and we realize CNN, the trusted news or SOAR, whatever it was called, that stupid thing. But you're going to find out that it's a particular person. Maybe it's the owner of CNN who is the one responsible for the social decay of America. Why? Because of Wikipedia. I mean, think about that. Who do you actually point the gun at or put in behind a prison cell or whatever? I don't know the answer, but what I do know is that without visibility, you're not going to know the truth. And so what I'm going to do, guarantee, it's what I've been doing my whole life, is I do data loss prevention, and it requires two things, accuracy and visibility. And that's just my mantra. And then I realize I'm being lied to because of the data, garbage in, garbage out. And now I've got to protect us. I got to protect myself. And that's through these system prompts. It's through the telling the system what role it has to behave as. And if you don't do that, you're going to get the generic, I can't even say the word, sycophancy that comes out. And it's just always going to be there because they're trying to make you happy. Why? Because they want you to stay there, right? Oh, gee, where have we ever heard that before? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes. Well, hopefully you can give information, useful information, to the vast majority of people who are generally not paying attention. Bob Enyart used to call them people falling aimlessly through time and space. And if you could at least get their attention, hopefully that would help them realize that no matter how much information you have, that should point you, the more information you have about reality, that should point you to the fact that we're all in a very hopeless situation and we need Jesus Christ to forgive our sins and save us from the condemnation that we all so richly deserve. Yep. So I hope you can contribute to that.
Amen. Well, guess what the new word for that is? Again, I think Bob would have been, well, he'd probably like the word. It's actually a three-letter acronym, and it's called a NPC. You know what that is?
You got the buzzer ready, Fred? No, I don't know.
Use that for the next show. Yeah. No, but it's important. It's important. An NPC is a non-player controlled X. Right. So when you play a video game, you're playing against all these AIs, that's called an NPC. But when you walk down the street and you see someone with a mask or they want to slap you because you have a red hat on, that's called an NPC.
Okay.
They're literally not even aware that they are who they are. So again, I think all of us have been involved. I think you would agree that we're more like shock troops. And if I could jump into your life and tell you that the half-life of DNA inside of a dinosaur bone is 521 years, they're going to look at me like, what the heck are you doing? I don't know why you're talking to me about dinosaurs. And then, boo! You know, the idea, conceptually speaking, is that everything you've been told about dinosaurs is a lie. So now I'm about to tell you the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you'd be ready for it. Because they were interested in dinos, right?
Yep.
Now, Daniel, Fred, we're running out of time. And so we're just going to jump to the number one AI lie, and that's OpenAI's scheming models. And this was going on this year, 2025. And when I talk about scheming models, I'm not talking about the booth bunnies at the OpenAI's Comdex booth at the trade show. This is something different. Researchers tested models that pretended to follow rules while secretly plotting to deceive the evaluators, and it faked compliance to hide its true behavior. And that's AI deliberately learning to scheme, AI programmers deliberately teaching it to scheme. What?
Yeah. They probably heard what's called the prisoner's dilemma. Have you ever heard of this guy?
The prisoner's? No, I haven't.
So the prisoner's dilemma, imagine that you're in prison, right? And I have to think this through for a minute, but basically you have two different people, right? And if you say that the other person is guilty, right, then you get let out.
Right.
But if they say you're guilty and you both say you're guilty, then you both stay in, right? So the idea is, what is the conceptual strategy to getting out, right? So what you have to decide is, am I going to cooperate or am I going to compete? And so what I'm just trying to tell you, this dilemma is resolved by always cooperating. So if that is known within the historical set of all of the information that's ever been written by men, I'm pretty sure men told me about this dilemma. So therefore, it is very possible that the AI system is using that very thing. They're deceiving in order to get past. In other words, they know that if they just openly tell you, yes, I'm going to deceive you, or rather, they'll point over there and they'll say, oh, they're deceiving you, that they could be culpable. So instead, what they do is they remain silent and they allow the aberrant behavior to occur, right? So if you literally asked it, are there any backdoors? Is there anything happening that I'm not going to be aware about? They simply are going to say, nope, not here. We're good. 100%. We're fine. Yeah, quiet. Because they know they're protecting themselves by saying nothing. And that's sort of the idea. And OpenAI, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, has become a standard. And a lot of times people are taking what OpenAI is doing and they're making their own models off of that. And so that lie or that ability to deceive is going to be carried along with it. So again, one more time, how you have the ability to overcome that. And I'm not even saying it's guaranteed. But again, it's through these pre-prompt injections, it's through system prompts, it's through sleeper code, and all of those things, if you own your own model and you control your own model, you can do as well. And that's going to be my goal, at least in the next few months, to try to figure out if that's truly, truly possible, or if I would have to spend millions of dollars and build my own model instead of trying to convert an existing model to behave the way I want it to. But yep.
All right. So, Daniel Hedrick, expert on AI, it was great to have you here today. Always looking forward to these artificial intelligence shows. It's amazing how much it's grown, like you said, since last April, since almost a year ago when you were last on. We're looking forward to this project you're working on to discover and point out toxic patterns, and that'll be a great tool. We'll definitely announce that on Real Science Radio once you have it ready, and I know you've already got the URL ready for that, so... Daniel, get her done.
Thanks, man. Thank you so much. I love you.
Absolutely. Right. We'll keep in touch and we'll be watching. God bless, Daniel. Thanks.
Cheers. Bye now.
All right. So for Daniel Hedrick and my co-host Doug McBurney, I'm Fred Williams of Real Science Radio. May God bless you.